from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia sends trade mission to South Asia. Indonesia seeks immediate return of two fishermen released by Abu Sayyaf. Contract value of PT Inka increases significantly in 2018. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolu Kita kicked off the trade mission on Monday, January 22, to two South Asian countries, India and Pakistan, taking with him 61 business people to explore the cooperation with their counterpart in the two countries. He said the trade mission would start from India and then to Pakistan to follow the schedule of Indonesian President Joko Widodo, who was conducting his visits to the two countries. In the visit to India, which started on Monday, Enggar Tias Tolu took 37 business people from 30 companies, including members of the Indonesia Chamber of Commerce and Industry (Kadin), according to the Indonesian Trade Ministry in a statement on Monday. Meanwhile, the delegation to Pakistan consists of 24 business people from 23 companies which produce electronic products, agriculture products, ties, textiles, palm oil, and its derivative products, as well as services, according to the statement. While in India, the minister said he would raise the issue of the ASEAN-India Business and Investment Meet and Expo in an effort to complete the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, as a follow-up of an ASEAN economic meeting in Singapore recently. The Indonesian government has intensified measures to secure the repatriation of two Indonesian hostages who were recently released by Abu Sayyaf militants in the Philippines. The two fishermen, Lautura Ali and Lahadi Laadi, were released by the extremist group on Friday, January 19, after being held hostage for more than a year since being kidnapped on November 5, 2016 in Sulawesi. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said the two men currently stayed with the Indonesian Consulate General in Davao and were waiting for exit clearances to be issued from the Philippines so they could return home soon. Minister Retno told journalists on Monday, January 22, that she was communicated with the Philippine authorities earlier on Monday morning to request that the exit clearance be issued by as soon as possible. Minister Retno added that the government officials had continued effort and coordination with their Philippine counterpart to secure the release of the three remaining Indonesian hostages held by the rebel group. The Indonesian government plans to accelerate the development of several strategic infrastructure projects done in collaboration with Japan. Indonesian Public Works and People's Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono said the two countries have been having intensive discussions since Indonesia's visit to Japan in July last year. In recent press release issued by the ministry, he said that his ministry is pushing to obtain JICA's funding for the construction of the Padang Bukit Tinggi Pekanbaru Toll Road Tunnel. Basuki said that for the Padang Bukit Tinggi Pekanbaru Toll Project, the Japanese government is committed to finance the construction of a 40-kilometer road, including a 7-kilometer tunnel. Financing is provided in the form of loans to the Indonesian government. Other projects that Indonesia is carrying out with the help of the Japanese government include the Port Patimban Access Road, the Central Jakarta Waste Management System or Jakarta Sewerage System, as well as the semi-bullet train between Jakarta and Surabaya. PT Kereta Api Inka Persero Madiun this year is working a number of train procurement projects with a total contract value about 3.6 trillion rupiah. That figure increased significantly about 1 trillion rupiah compared to 2017 contract value worth 2.6 trillion rupiah. President Director of PT Inka Persero Madiun, Budi Noviantoro, in Madiun, East Java, Monday, January 22, said the projects are recently conducted by PT Inka, such as ordering light rail transit in Palembang, South Sumatra, as the transportation mode to support the Asian Games 2018. In addition, PT Inka Persero now also completing the construction of 250 units of passenger train ordered by Bangladesh Railways with a contract value of around 1.5 trillion rupiah.
Tahun ini sekitar 3,6 ya kira-kira.
This year, Inka has a contract value of around 3.6 trillion rupiah, most of its investment span in equipment. In the future, our train specification is not designed only with mild steel, but already use stainless steel. Welding process of stainless steel is different, but in the future it will be processed by automatic design. Secondly, it can also use aluminium alloy, which is better quality than others. Budi moreover said the quality of domestic products can be completed than import goods. This is in line with the government instructions that determine the production of light rail should prioritize the domestic products. To complete the train project order, PT Inka will absorb 500 to 1,000 new workers. The existing 5,000 workers is still like number. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, in Jakarta. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said the development acceleration of the Technology Institute of Sumatra is immediately needed given the campus has a faculty that support to welcome the fourth generation or 4.0 industrial revolution. This was conveyed by President Joko Widodo when reviewing the development of the campus building of the Technology Institute of Sumatra in South Lampung on Sunday, January 21.
Agar ada percepatan pembangunan ITERA ini dan
in order to accelerate the development of the Technology Institute of Sumatra, the most important thing that the students can pursue that the target immediately to achieve 4.0 revolution, which currently require quite number of engineers. President Joko Widodo reiterated that the acceleration of the development of Technology Institute of Sumatra is very important because in the future, Indonesia will sustain more diverse of industrial challenges. On the occasion, the president said that Technology Institute of Sumatra campus has 275 hectares of land. Last year, the central government helped to build campus buildings, student dormitories, and road construction for the smoothness of road access to the campus. The Association of Indonesian Travel Agencies ASITA of Papua stated that Baliem Valley Festival in Jayawijaya Regency, Papua still becomes the main attraction for foreign tourists to visit Papua. Escorted by Antara, Chairman of ASITA Papua Iwanta Paranginangin, in Jayapura on Sunday said the average number of foreign tourist arrivals in 2017 reached 100 people per month, but the number can increase dramatically during the implementation of the Baliem Valley Festival on August 8 to 10. According to him, currently travel agents have started to sell travel packages to watch the festival held by Jayawijaya government as an annual routine agenda. Iwanta Paranginangin admitted that during that period, the price of trip to Jayawijaya increased compared to the normal day. The last item. West Sumatra Provincial Government has identified 800 types of Minangkabau traditional female costumes and will keep doing so to preserve the national culture. Taufik Effendi, West Sumatra's head of the cultural agency, to Antara News Agency in Padang on Monday, January 22, that the findings on these Minangkabau traditional female costumes is surprising, as it reaches hundreds of types. According to Taufik, the staggering amount of custom types is because in each area in West Sumatra there are different types of traditional female costumes. In one area alone, there are also different tribes that don different traditional female costumes. The differences can be seen in the ornaments and accessories used in the costumes, as well as the headwear, locally called suntiang. These types of traditional customs are being documented to raise awareness among the younger generations and to keep them from falling into oblivion. West Sumatra Governor Irwan Prayitno supported the effort by the cultural agency, as cultural richness is closely connected with tourism, which can help boost locals' welfare. Aside from the traditional customs, Irwan also pushed for the cultural agency to help preserve the Minang martial art, which is fading away. Listener, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Improving People's Productivity and Indonesian Competitiveness Through Infrastructure Development. Infrastructure development continues to be spent out by the government of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla, especially for areas outside of Java. During the period 2015-2019, the government targets the development of infrastructure covering 1,000 kilometers of toll roads, 2,650 kilometers of new roads and 30 kilometers of new bridges and 65 dams. In early 2018, there are several infrastructure projects that had been built by the government, such as toll roads, railways, dams, airports, housing complex, and cross-border post. The newly inaugurated development project by President Joko Widodo on Sunday is the initial toll road of Bakahuni Terbanggi Besar in Bakahuni District, South Lampung Regency. This is the first toll road in Lampung Province. The ready-to-operate toll road is the one at Bakahuni Harbour Simpan Susun Bakahuni covering 8.9 kilometers and the toll road of Simpan Susun Lematan Simpan Susun Kota Baru covers 5.5 kilometers. Since their initial reigns of government, even before being elected as President and Vice President of Indonesia, Joko Widodo and Yusuf Kalla have already launched a program called Nawacita, or 9 priority agenda for the road of change towards being politically sovereign, economically independent, and culturally personalized for Indonesia. One of the Nawacita's program is to enhance people's productivity and competitiveness in international markets so that Indonesian nation can move forward and rise in a bid to be equal as advanced Asian nations. This can be done by building infrastructure not only in Java but also outside Java, such as Sumatra, Kalimantan, Sulawesi, and Papua. The existence of infrastructure is believed to speed up economic growth and reduce regional inequalities. In addition, the infrastructure development must be carried out to win the competition against other countries. What the government of Joko Widodo and Yusuf Kalla has done is worth being supported by all stakeholders. All of the toll roads, airports, and seaports can all be means of pressuring prices and accelerating the flow of logistics. This will greatly elevate the Indonesian competitiveness internationally. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on January 22, 1901, when Queen Victoria passed away. On January 22, 1901, Victoria, the famous Queen of the United Kingdom, passed away at the age of 82 years old. She was born in 1819 in London. At very young age, namely 18 years old, Victoria began prefecture of the United Kingdom, replacing his uncle, King William IV, who passed away. Queen Victoria rules for 63 years. It was the longest government in British history. Victoria succeeded to defend the existence of the monarchy system and made her as a ceremonial political institution. In her government, the action of repression against the people in the British colonies increased significantly. After Victoria's death, the British Empire's rule was under King Edward VII's leadership. The next event was in 1903, when Supomo was born. Profesor Supomo is a national hero of Indonesia. He is known as the architect of the birth of the 1945 Constitution, along with Muhammad Yamin and Soekarno. Supomo was born in Sukoharjo, Central Java, January 22, 1903. He came from a noble family. Being from the noble family, Supomo had the opportunity to continue his education at LELC, Euripides Liger School in Boyolali in 1917, Mulo Mir Ulgedebrit Leger on Derwis in Solo 1920, and completing legal education at Batavia Preschule in Batavia in 1923. He was then appointed as a civil servant of the Dutch East Indies colonial government, who was seconded to the Sragen District Court Chief. During the independence movement, Supomo participated in activities. He passed away at the age of 55 due to a heart attack in Jakarta on September 12, 1958, and was buried in Solo. And the last event is that it was about Bloody Sunday in 1905. Bloody Sunday is an incident which happened on January 22, 1905, in St. Petersburg, Russia. At the time, there was a shooting at the demonstration that was initially peaceful to the demonstrators to deliver a petition of Tsar Nicholas II. The shooting was committed by a special army of the state. The shooting did not happen in the Palace Square. Bloody Sunday had serious consequences for the Tsarist regime and resulted in the loss of popular support for the state. The tragedy which occurred on the Sunday was regarded as one of the important happenings that ultimately led the Russian Revolution in 1917. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with daily program My Indonesia. The topic of today's My Indonesia is Indonesia and Japan to complete infrastructure cooperation. The governments of Indonesia and Japan agreed to accelerate the completion of a number of infrastructure projects in Indonesia. The new commitment was the result of a meeting between the envoy of Japanese Prime Minister Toshihiro Nakai and President Joko Widodo at Bogor Palace in West Java on Friday. The meeting also commemorated the 60 years of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Japan. Minister of Public Works and Housing Basuki Hadimulyono said that the infrastructure projects include the construction of Patimban Harbor in Subang, Mass Rapid Transit or MRT Phase 1, MRT East-West Jakarta Corridor, Jakarta-Surabaya Semi-Fast Train, and Pekanbaru-Padang, Sumatra. At Bogor Palace, West Java on Friday, Minister Basuki
Ki Hadi Mulyono said that Patimban Port in Subang, West Java will begin laying the first stone in May 2018. So, March 2019 will be soft opening. Meanwhile, phase 1 development of MRT will soon be tested to operate in 2019.
Untuk kereta api Jakarta-Surabaya, kecepatan 5,5 jam.
For the semi-fast Jakarta-Surabaya train, speed of 5.5 hours is approximately the target. So it is not too fast. 5.5 hours is enough so that the cost will also be evaluated again to make it cheaper. Later, the details will be explained by Minister of Transportation. For Sumatra toll road from Padang to Pekanbaru, we have the route with tunnel and the connecting road. Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono confirmed that Indonesia-Japan cooperation will not burden the state budget. He also explained about the management of gas exploration of Masela Block, which will be prepared by Japan to start soon. In the fisheries and marine sector, Indonesia is still planning a number of fishery product development projects that can be done by Japan. Minister Basuki added that the especially prepared projects are the ones in the outer islands such as Natuna and Morotai. That was My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita kicked off the trade mission on Monday to two South Asia countries, India and Pakistan, taking with him 61 business people to explore the cooperation with their counterpart in the two countries. The Indonesian government has intensified measures to secure the repatriation of two Indonesian hostages who were recently released by Abu Sayyaf militants in the Philippines. The Indonesian government plans to accelerate the development of several strategic infrastructure projects done in collaboration with Japan, Indonesian Public Works and People's Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono said. The two countries have been intensive discussions since Indonesia's visit to Japan in July last year. PT Kereta Api Inka Persero Madiun this year is working a number of train procurement projects with a total contract value about 3.6 trillion rupiah. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said the development acceleration of the Technology Institute of Sumatra is immediately needed given the campus has a faculty that support to welcome the fourth generation or 4.0 industrial revolution. The Association of Indonesian Travel Agencies ASITA of Papua stated that Paliem Valley Festival in Jayawijaya Regency, Papua, still becomes the main attraction for foreign tourists to visit Papua. West Sumatra Provincial Government has identified 800 types of Minangkabau traditional female customs and will keep doing so to preserve the national culture. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Jongan Dance from West Kalimantan. Stay tuned. Listeners, Kalimantan is a very spacious island, which makes it rich of various kinds of cultures and traditions in its tribe. One of the traditions which is still held in Jongan dance from Dayak Kanayan tribe. Listeners, Jongan is one of traditional dances in West Kalimantan, which describes happiness in Dayak society. The name of Jonggan is taken from Dayak language, meaning dance. According to some resources, Jonggan dance appeared around 1950s in Landak Regency, West Kalimantan province. The dance is used as entertainment in various kinds of traditions. Then Jonggan dance is often performed in big events such as wedding, welcoming guests, and many others. Listeners, if Jonggan dance wants to be performed, there is a special ritual which must be heard at first. The ritual is called Nyang Ngahant, which means to pray. The ritual is heard to ask permission or to ask protection to the god in order the performance runs smoothly. The Nyang Ngahant is begun with Bapa Monk, namely delivery of prayer by the ceremonial leader before the offering which has been provided. Jonggan is performed by 5 until 7 female dancers. When dancing, they wear kebaya, pacha, and shawl. Pacha is a long batik cloth. It is a simple costume and does not use many accessories. Listeners, Jonggan is one of dance performances which allows audience to participate in dancing and replying rhymes, but its rhyme must be appropriate with the theme, which is delivered. Because the dance is categorized as interactive and communicative dance, the dance is accompanied with traditional music consisting of gadabong or drum, dao or gamelan, and bamboo flute. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder featuring Jonggan from West Kalimantan Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is kasir, or in English, cashier. Stay tuned. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Kasir. Kasir in English, cashier. Di mana? Di mana in English, where? Baju. Baju in English, clothes. Anak-anak. Anak-anak in English, kids. Wanita. Wanita in English, woman or lady. Kesana, kesana in English, over there. Membeli, membeli in English, to buy. Anak perempuan in English, daughter. Tidak ada in English, nothing. Membayar in English, to pay. Tangga jalan,
tangga jalan. In English, escalator. Listener, next is a conversation about cashier, or in English, cashier. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between A. Rita and B. Nita at a shopping center. Rita. Nita, bagian baju anak ada di mana? Nita, bagian baju anak ada di mana? In English, Nita, where is the counter for kids? Nita, oh, bagian baju anak ada di dekat baju wanita. Oh, bagian baju anak ada di dekat baju wanita. In English, oh, the counter for kids is close to ladies' clothes. Rita, mari kita ke sana. Mari kita ke sana. In English, let us go there. Saya mau membeli baju untuk anak perempuan saya. Saya mau membeli baju untuk anak perempuan saya. In English, I want to buy some clothes for my daughter. Nita, kamu masih mau membeli apa lagi? Kamu masih mau membeli apa lagi? In English, do you want to buy anything else? Rita, tidak ada. Tidak ada. In English, nothing. Nita, kalau begitu, mari kita bayar di kasir. Kalau begitu, mari kita bayar di kasir. In English, so let's go to the cashier. Rita, kasir ada di mana? Kasir ada di mana? In English, where is the cashier? Nita, kasir ada di sana. Kasir ada di sana. In English, the cashier is over there. Di dekat tangga jalan. Di dekat tangga jalan. In English, near the escalator. Mari kita ke sana. Mari kita ke sana. In English, let's go there. Listener, to ask about location or place, you can use the word di mana. In English means where. For example, kasir ada di mana? In English, where is the cashier? To answer the question, you can say di sana. In English, over there. Or di sini. In English, here. So, it depends on the location. To initiate a conversation, if you want to ask something to someone, it is better to use the word permisi. In English, excuse me. You also can say maaf, boleh saya bertanya? In English, excuse me, can I ask you? Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one.
In today's edition, we will present Indonesian Kroncong Song, presented by a female singer, Indra Utami Tamsir. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Wanita. Happy listening.
Terima kasih.
The song Wanita tells the story of a woman with all her strength or ability and physical beauty. This song became a leading song in Kroncong Indra Utami Tamsir's album entitled Wanita Indonesia, which was launched in mid-2016. The album contains 13 songs. The song Wanita was composed by Ismail Marzuki with pop genre, then rearranged into Kroncong. Indra said, currently Kroncong music is less appreciated by young people. That's why she wants to introduce the music to the younger generation. Indra Utami Tamsir is a singer from Blora, Centro Java. She has received Emmy Award from the Anugerah Musik Indonesia Foundation in 2013 as the best female solo singer for Kroncong category. At the time, Indra Utami performed in collaborating with a Pesona Jiwa Kroncong Orchestra led by Koko Tole. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Tanah Airku by Indra Utami Tamsir. Thank you. just listened to the song Kroncong Tanah Airku by Indra Utami. This song tells about the natural beauty of Indonesia, a beautiful archipelagic country with green and towering mountains, valleys, rivers, and other breathtaking landscapes. The song is an original Kroncong and has also been dedicated by a number of other Indonesian Kroncong singers. Listener, the existence of Indra Utami Tamsir is relatively new in the Indonesian entertainment industry, especially in Kroncong music. But her ability in Kroncong music received fairly, especially among Kroncong music lovers. After launching the album Wanita Indonesia in 2016, Indra Utami Tamsir held many concerts in several cities in Java such as Blora, Semarang, Solo, Yogyakarta, Bandung, Malang, Surabaya, Bali, and Jakarta. The concert in Jakarta was held in September and brought the same title with her album Wanita Indonesia. Listener, that was a glimpse of the Kroncong singer Indra Utami Tamsir. And to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Cinta Sejati. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa. Thank you.
semua pesan singkatku. Padahal itu menyenangkanku. Di sini aku menantimu bersama waktu yang membunuhku. Tapi kau tak pernah menyambutku. Kamu begitu indah, begitu cantik, begitu istimewa. Mungkinkah kamu jadi milikku selalu, karena ku tak istimewa.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.